In light of The Biggest Lie, which is one of my last videos that well received a good amount of attention, the idea of a solution or the idea of a truth is very important in relation to the lie. Philosophy was developed and is practiced for sharing the truth, for knowing more of the truth. And I'm going to tell you that philosophy actually is always anarchy. Now, this is interesting because anarchy means anarchon, which means no ruler. If you love knowledge, which is what philosophos means, philosophy, then perhaps you pursuing your own knowledge through your own lens, making yourself your own philosopher, gives you the ability to rule yourself, think for yourself, and therefore have no rulers other than yourself. Every philosophy is anarchy for this reason. And in case you don't think so, I'm going to go back to the very first philosopher, or at least the one that is credited the most, Socrates, the father of Western philosophy, as many people will say. He is somebody who some philosophers have even attacked throughout the century, saying, oh, well, he questioned too much. He questioned the powers that be. Meanwhile, they are criticizing him for the very reason that he would criticize them. He questioned the politicians, he questioned everybody, and he said, well, why not question everything? And we understand that we actually know nothing, and from that foundation of realizing that there's always more to learn, we don't have it all figured out, allows us to understand that there's always more to understand. There's always more to learn, and therefore, everybody can be a philosopher, and by sharing ideas with one another, we gain a broader, wider worldview, which is why there's people that are doing Socratic seminars. Look this up, Socratic seminars. They're doing this in school systems where you have kids sitting in one circle and then kids on an outer circle. They're debating with each other. They're learning how to speak. They're learning how to critically think. It's a beautiful thing because you're opening up the dialogue. So often in today's schooling system, you have one person who says, these are the answers. You have to study this. It's rote learning. It's repetitive. You have to remember what the teacher says. You have to remember what the textbook says. But never do you dare question the authority or question the sources, question the legitimacy of that material. In the same way, we have a doctor nowadays who we trust as the expert, who is supposed to know everything about our condition, who will give us the perfect prescription for all our needs, despite him probably doing it for money and not knowing about alternative remedies. And despite the fact you have the internet at your fingertips to attain any source of information if you so please and choose to do so. I say please because if you are a philosopher, if you love knowledge, then you would look for the alternative. You would ask questions and you would not just go with the status quo. You would be, by definition, a rebel of society. And usually anarchists are somewhat correlated to the idea of a rebel. Oh, they're chaotic. They don't want to follow the rules. Just because they don't want to follow the rules does not make them unruly, does not make them unordered. They have other rules that they follow in their life. Everybody lives by rules. They choose which rules they want to follow, but they do not have any moral obligation to follow a ruler, which is where the biggest lie comes in. Because if this is the biggest truth, is realizing that you should think for yourself and allow others to think for themselves, that is a shared sense of humility, a shared sense of respect, allows everybody to learn, allows everybody to find out the best solutions, allows the market to compete, to find the best solutions, apply them in practice, and then if that's a bad practice, then we find a new one and we keep improving and improving. That's the solution. The lie is holding us back from that. The lie says you can't improve. It's the way it is. It's the way it has always been. This is government. You have to live with our demands. You have to live with these taxes. You have to live with these laws. And if you dare question that, well, you're an anarchist, you're a philosopher, because those two words are essentially the same thing. Just look throughout history. Socrates himself was persecuted, essentially killed by his own government. I mean, the guy was literally questioning things, teaching society, teaching the children of Greece, of Athens, whatever, these ideas of questioning everything, and, you know, questioning everything, and just go down the line. You start to learn more, the kids start to learn more, they start realizing, oh shoot, I own myself, oh shoot, I can think for myself, that's why I own myself, and now they're not obedient to the people in power. Now, Socrates is seen as this person who is causing rebellion, even though he's just sharing thoughts and asking questions. It's just that simple. The first philosopher was killed by his own government for questioning government. And why is that profound? Because philosophy is supposed to study truth, and the biggest lie is government, which is that which is keeping us from the truth. It's putting us in boxes, saying this is what the truth is and it can't be anything else, because somebody's opinion is the law. Their opinion is what they think should be done with society, but other people do not agree with them. What do they have to do? Do they have to comply to someone else who they disagree with? That is our system of law. You have no choice but to comply with people who you disagree with. And if you disagree, if you decide to disobey, you're going to be thrown in the cage. You're going to be punished by that system. Like, what gives them the right to punish you? They can disagree with you. Sure, there's no problem with that. That's dialogue. That's debate. That is philosophy. But when you say, No, there's no debate. The experts have it. The government has it. This is the way it is. This is the norm. This is the law. This is the way it has to be. Then you're restricting knowledge, saying that there is no love for knowledge. There's a love for restricting knowledge. There's a love for, well, dominance. It's not knowledge. It's not education. It's not sharing with people. Do you see a politician going on office saying, I'm going to share and educate all of you on philosophy? No one will like that guy. Or at least I would like him, but no one will like that because they expect a politician to be running for office, for running for certain positions. People have this belief, which is the biggest lie, which is saying that people need, in politics and politicians need to go through this ritual, need to justify government, need to lay out their position, need to sound good, need to speak good, need to look good, right? And so these politicians will give themselves these artificial imitations of who they naturally are. They will not be themselves anymore. They assume this position, and then you wonder why the biggest lie, the Stanford Prison Experiment, is so powerful. In these experiments, and you know, I spend a lot of my life reading. I read so much, thousands of words. I'm writing thousands of words a day. I'm putting tremendous effort into this. How many people are willing to do the same thing? Perhaps it's just a matter of how many people are willing to be philosophers. How many people are willing to question the status quo? That's what it means, because if you want to invent a new philosophy, or if you want to be a philosopher, then you're not just going to seek the current knowledge or the old knowledge, you're going to want to create more knowledge. You want to build connections. It's a good diagram. I'm going to put this on the screen for you. It tells you that when you intake information, when you connect it together, and then when you create something new out of that, that is innovation. And that is how you bring an idea to the next level. That's how a teacher connects two ideas and then says, here's the curriculum. Here is the whole deal. And that's why I created my Sapientia Naturae book, The Wisdom of Nature, and the guidebook in particular as the curriculum, which is based mainly on questions. If I understand my worldview to be so true, then other people should be able to come to the same conclusions on their own without me. That's what's beautiful about reading The Abolitionist and finding out, oh shoot, I met William Douglas, somebody who's a blogger from the LaterDayLiberator.com, and he's coming to the same conclusions as me, despite him and I not having any relationship whatsoever. We haven't followed the same people, haven't read into the same information, but because we both studied The Abolitionist, that is what connected us together. See, when we understand knowledge, we start to realize we have a direction, we have a path, there's a way we should be going with our lives. When we don't have knowledge, we're confused, we don't know where we're going, and then we give way to man-made things which are not of the true essence, which is that of nature, which is always has existed. That is the truth. Truth is what is, right? It's what has always been there for us to figure out. We're constantly trying to figure it out. So the philosophers start, they start thinking about different ideas, they're challenging the systems that be, and then over time, you see more philosophers, and then they look at the older, more popular philosophers, and they're like, oh shoot, well, you know, they're too popular. We need to think more outside the box. And that is natural, that's great, that's perfect. But let's not also say, well, they're completely wrong, and they have no basis to understanding, because there's a reason why they exist. When you replace one, you come up with another. And this just shows you human innovation, the cycles of the human thought. But the cycles continue with an ever-evolution, meaning as we cycle through history, we realize certain history just keeps repeating itself. There is constant evolution in humanity, technology, information, the ability to educate the world. You know, we didn't have these things before. Ending chattel slavery. I mean, these are achievements. These are things that have never been done before. So for people to think it just cycles is not true. It cycles and it evolves. Nature is a complex system. It's a beautiful system, and not one person has it figured out. To say it's just a cycle, or just that, or just anything, to say it's limited to just these words, means that you're not a philosopher. You're not somebody who's really willing to learn the knowledge, because knowledge is ever expanding. This is why Socrates is credited with, you know, the father of philosophy. Perfect to encapsulate it, because he questioned everything. And when you question everything, that's how you learn knowledge to begin with. Every thought is a question. Every action is a question. It has consequences. You don't know how exactly that action is going to be carried out into the world, what you're going to receive as a result. You might have some knowledge as to what your actions are going to do, but that's based on your experience of other actions, which you've had to experiment. Those thoughts that you've had to experiment by putting them into reality. By putting your thoughts into reality, by putting your thoughts into action, you experiment and therefore see what works and what doesn't, and according to what goals and what desires you want to achieve in your life. Philosophy doesn't wear a label, it doesn't have an identity, there is no award for philosophy. You know, I mean, there's a lot of great content creators out there for all sorts of different topics, and they want to say there's a Nobel Peace Prize and there's an award for this. Like, no. It doesn't make the case any better for philosophy if it is the love of knowledge, and knowledge is met for everybody because everybody can improve with knowledge, then there isn't a one set restriction to people or events or ideas. It's all everything. It's everything. All of nature is to learn from, is it not? Not just one part or another. So we have to see the bigger picture, and that means having no attachment to the colors as well, because people will do this as well, especially with anarchism or any political philosophy. Oh, there's a color for that. It's like, what? There's a color for one ideology and one ideology for one person? Like, even if it was across several people, that even more so makes no sense, because every individual is unique. They all have a mind of their own, which is why I don't really like to title myself. I say abolitionist because it's a unique perspective that I'm bringing back into the world. But even then, I acknowledge and stay back and say, hey, I'm not an abolitionist. I'm just a human being who partakes in abolitionism, this action, an action of abolishing. So it's about seeing the truth, getting out to all. And getting it out to all means being open to all, not willing to close ourselves into certain colors and identities just for our ego attachment, just to reach people that are similar to us necessarily. You will still reach like minds if you just open your heart. In fact, you'll reach more minds that way because you are open, and less people are going to have preconceived notions of what you are trying to be or what you're trying to do. So that's why it's hard for some people to figure me out, and I think that's a good thing, because then it makes people somewhat curious and mysterious, like, what is it that you're about? Even if I have books and tons of videos, they don't know, and the people who don't like the information of what they've heard so far are just going to say, oh, it's too much, and no, I don't want to go through it. They don't actually understand the concepts, but that's because it requires a philosopher to understand philosophy. It requires a human being to see humanity in other people. And when you open your heart, when you love others, you're going to attract that love. It's the same across the board, right? We need humans to stand for humans, not authority figures or people in government to stand for humans. Humans need to prove themselves, prove that they can, you know, own themselves, control themselves. That first comes and requires a self-thinking mind, a mind that is made free by their own knowledge away from ignorance. You know, only you can free your own mind. You can have assistance from others. That's why philosophy is taught. But having a set philosophy is not going to free your mind. Freedom means you're not attached to anything. Freedom means you have no dependence on any one particular thing. Freedom means you're able to see everything because you're free. You're open. You're flowing. You're out there. And that's why people who are seen as free or radical are out there and crazy and anarchist. Like, it all makes sense, doesn't it? Right? But they usually use it in a negative connotation if it's an attack. It's not an attack. To say someone is crazy doesn't always necessarily mean a bad thing or a negative thing. It's actually a beautiful thing to see that somebody can be unique in the world. And especially if they see there's a lot of problems in the world, they might make themselves out to be crazy. I've talked about this before on my channel, but they are still just expressing themselves. In expressing themselves in today's world with mass information, you have to expect some craziness. You have to expect some radicalness. But is it radical if you don't want your ideas imposed on others by law? Is it radical to say, well, I have my opinion, I just want you to have your own too, I just don't want to use violence against you? That's not radical. It's just very grounded. It's very principled, which is not something necessarily everybody lives their life by. If they're saying, oh, well, I have to follow the law, that's not a principle. That's someone's opinion. You're following someone else's philosophy, so you're not really your own philosopher. You're not really thinking for yourself, and therefore, you're not yourself, because you were given your own brain to think about the world that you live in. You don't have to rely on a book. You don't have to rely on an institution. You don't have to rely on an ideology. I'm telling you that attachment is this big problem. There's a reason why Eastern philosophy said attachment and desire is a very big problem, right? The root to the problem. So, another example is I live my life without the news. This might come as a surprise to some people because I talk about different mentalities in the world. That's because I talk to people. That's because I observe people's behavior. I think about different situations and what would happen. I read up on a lot of different situations, but that does not mean I follow the news. The news is what is happening currently, events, people, places. That's not ideas. That's not looking at a huge, timeless, universal worldview. No, it's actually quite limited, and if anything, quite negative and often agenda-oriented. I'm in it for the knowledge, I'm in it for the information, and the news is not going to get you there. The news might be covering that, and then they twist it into a bunch of forms, which is why the news can get so complicated and annoying, but nonetheless, the knowledge is always the foundation. Just as it's the philosophy that created politics, politics ran with it, said, hey, well, we can use this as an ideology to control people. It sounds good. It appeals to them. It's something that we can now use. You can see that philosophy runs this world. You know, it's always the philosophers who get the final say at the end of the day. You know, people were like, oh, look at Socrates questioning everything. Meanwhile, his ideas become the most popular over time. And this is the value in it. And nowadays we're bringing back a lot of ideas of occultism and spirituality, Eastern philosophy that was kept hidden from the Western philosophy. It's all integrating together with the advent of the internet and with people researching and thinking. And that's all philosophy. That is what philosophy is, right? But am I to say that is what philosophy is all together anyways? No, it's always expanding. That's the point. But no, you read any, you know, school text nowadays, it is this, civics is this, politics is this, and it doesn't actually go into what it is. Like, it's not, politics is never going to tell you the biggest lie, which has all politics, which is the belief in authority. They're never going to tell you about that belief mentality. Many of the philosophers of the past are not even going to tell you about that mentality, because they didn't even understand it themselves. So it's always about expanding past these barriers, because now people are seeing it and they're like, wow, this is life-changing. Wow, we can see so much. Well, we could have seen it all this time if people just opened their minds enough, if people were open to other people's ideas enough, if there was enough honesty to go around and people weren't being coerced so much throughout history, perhaps we would have evolved way quicker. And that is beautiful to see. And it's just a shame that that beauty was suppressed for so long. If we want to continue that beauty, then continue allowing people to express themselves on the internet. It's a beautiful thing. That's at least one of the good things about the internet. Of course, there's many, many bad things, which is all also because of just the unnatural, something I detail in a lot of my works. Doesn't mean that it doesn't have natural effects such as this, the spread of information. And I think that's where the big pinnacle of the internet lives. It's a mass compilation of human projection. It's literally just humans saying, this is our creation, and we can put the world into this. We can make virtual reality, we can make video games, we can make poetry, we can publish it. Like, I'm publishing books for free. It's insane, right? So the internet is just this projection, and it's a very powerful one, which means it could be used for pretty much any purpose, okay? So although it can have negatives, yeah, it's also going to have great positives. It's just power. It could be used for good or for bad. And so I formulate my own ideas. I reflect, and I do what others do not see, and, you know, or at least I see what they do not see, and therefore I do the different. Based upon that, I am able to experiment. I'm able to innovate. And so, you know, you see all throughout history, the abolitionists, for example, if you read their writings, they're not talking about times, specific times, they're not talking about specific places or specific people. They're talking about all of humanity. They're talking about big ideas. And guess what? Who goes down in history? Oh, it's the abolitionists. They were the ones who charged the end of chattel slavery. Yeah, because they were sharing the ideas. It's the ideas that really gets to people's hearts and minds. You know, people nowadays are talking about men versus women, and then sometimes they get personal. But the ideas really attract people. The idea of love has attracted people for centuries on end. It still does. Of course, they can get trapped in different mechanisms and different people and different things that hold them back. But the idea is something that is openness. It's something that really draws them in. The ideas drive everything, and as a result, the people and the places come as a result. But if you focus on the people and the places, the things that come of the ideas and not the ideas, then you're losing the roots, you're losing the foundation. This is why it's important to have principles, because then you say, I live my life by this idea. And if you say you live your life by that idea, it becomes your ideology. Your ideology, you're always going to have one, you're always going to have rules, you're always going to have these guidelines in your life, can be expanded. It could be ever expanding, like I said in the beginning of this video, and that would make you an anarchist, because no one can control you. No one can say this is what you must think. You're always improving. You're always thinking that you might be possibly wrong. So therefore, you're uncontrollable. You control yourself, and you do. In nature, you do control yourself, and you're simply embracing that. You're simply saying, well, I was given this mind by nature. I'm going to use it. And it's my own mind, it's not other people's minds, it's my own mind. I might be in the same reality as them, but they're going to see something differently. I'm going to put another picture on the screen for you of somebody looking at a shape one way and the other person seeing the shape in a totally different way. But if they were to combine their perspectives together, they would realize, oh shoot, it's not the shape that we perceive. It's way more than that. And that's the beauty of people coming together and sharing ideas, which is why I make videos like this. So the biggest lie is the belief in authority, but the biggest solution is sharing that lie with others. And being a philosopher or an anarchist, someone with no ruler, ruling yourself, having rules, because you need to. You live your life by rules. Doesn't mean that those rules come from rulers who proclaim to be the rules. It means that your ruler is nature or yourself, and therefore you live your life by rules. Because your rules have to come from yourself or nature if you want to find the truth ever living, ever being. It could be impersonal, personal, it could be intelligent, it could be the laws of the universe. That is what the truth is. Whatever you think the truth is, you just know it's not human. You just know it's not something humans can create. It's only something humans can take in. And the only thing they can take in is this natural world that was given to us. So this is why it's important to look at nature, and why I say it's the answer. If there's going to be any solution to the biggest lie, and there's going to be any truth, it's going to be nature, it's going to be philosophy, whichever studies nature, it's going to be you who uses philosophy to study nature. Thank you very much for watching.